today on Real Radio.
A non-Christian, they're flogging. They're restless. They're struggling. They're trying to hang on to this life. It's all that they've got. It's a terrible thing to see. They're grabbing, you know, arms in the bed and squeezing.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we're in a mini-series taken from chapter 4 and verses 27 through 32. It's called The Victorious Christian. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Ephesians chapter 4 tonight, and I guess it's been Ephesians chapter 4 for months, hasn't it? But, yes, I heard that. Until we can quote it, we'll just probably stay in this chapter till the... No. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 30 tonight, and we'll go all the way down to verse 32. And Paul says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you." The title of the message tonight is really part two of what we began last time, and that is The Victorious Christian. How to be a victorious Christian. And really the subtitle of this book is Growing Up of a Healthy Church, which we're most interested in. But we have to remember the theme of this book. And the theme of this book is found in Ephesians 1 verse 3, where Paul tells the church at Ephesus, and also telling us, "Blessed or happy be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places or in Christ Jesus." And way back in verse 17 of this chapter, Paul began his diagnostic evaluation of chapter 4 and his physical examination of the new man in Christ versus the old man. Chapter 4 deals with that. He said back there in Ephesians 4:17, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, and the futility of their own mind." And he went on to teach us about our former conduct and our former lives, that we are now Christians. We now name the name of Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is, get a load of this, the fact of the matter is that we should not be squandering, weak, and wimpy Christians. We should be strong, vibrant, healthy, dynamic Christians in the Christian faith. We are weak because we literally choose to be weak in our Christianity. The Bible tells us that God has given us all power to be strong and to be dynamic. In fact, be conquerors over this old sinful nature and over the flesh and over this world. And if you and I tonight are struggling, it's quite frankly because we've chosen to be people to struggle. The gospel is powerful. In biblical guidance, which is what normal churches call counseling, we don't ever want to get into counseling. We think there's something better, and that is called biblical guidance. In biblical guidance, over and over again, you'll hear people say, "I know that the Bible says this, but..." And whenever you hear that "but," you know that something not good is coming. Because what they'll attempt to do is whittle away at the power or at the effect of the Bible. "I know the Bible says this, but..." And the moment that happens, you can just stop listening to what is about to be said, because the Bible promises us that by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we have all power to be overcomers and, in fact, to be victorious Christians. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, last time, it says there that you put off concerning your former conduct. Put it off. Just put it away. And you have to make a decision to do that. The old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now listen, before you're a Christian, you were the old man. And the old man did what the old man wanted. And the old man screamed out for the things of the world. The moment you came to Christ, assuming we came to Christ, right? That old man began to be put in his proper place, which is the coffin or casket, the grave. When we were born again, the Spirit of God came within us. But we were born again of the Spirit. That is, our spiritual nature was resurrected, or given life, I should say. And in that instant, we began a battle. The old man versus the new man. The man of the flesh and all of the passions of this life versus the new man and all of the passions of the heavenly life. And we've talked before in previous studies about that struggle. The example of this is in Romans 6, verse 6, where Paul says there to the church at Rome, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that is Jesus, that the body of sin might be done away with. And by the way, it's all past tense. Isn't that something? A thought can come up in your mind? I know this has never happened to you, but for me, temper will flare up. And, you know, you're driving down the road, and tempers flare, you know. And the thing is, I take driving too seriously, because I want to have serious fun while I'm driving. And so I get out there on the road, and like I'm going along, and if somebody doesn't realize, you know, that they should be pulling over or whatever as I approach, no, I'm kidding, but, you know, things can happen, and immediately, you know, you wonder, well, you know, I'm so righteous, or you might be thinking, you know, I'm so holy. I'm not talking about me, I'm you. You think you're so holy. And you can be saying, well, you know, I've really got my act together, and then somebody cuts you off, and you begin to little, you know, you can feel the thermometer going up. It's like the back of your neck, and it's going up to your head. It's like, ugh! That's the old man. He's like crawling out of the casket, and he's trying to grab the wheel, and it's like, you know, you're just, you got your praise music on, you sing, praise the Lord. And all of a sudden this thing happens in front of you, and you instantly turn into this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing. Well, how does that happen? Why? What is going on with us? It is the old nature, even though it is dead, moment by moment. In fact, Jesus told us that we are to carry our cross daily, and that we are to be making sure that we're crucified daily. We need to decide that every day. It's a pretty tragic thing that before we even get out of bed, have you noticed the struggle you have with the crucifixion stuff in the morning? You wake up and it's like, I want to stay here. And God says, let's get up, let's read, let's pray, let's walk, let's be together. I want to stay here. And immediately you're confronted with a mallet and a stake, and you need to either grab it and begin to crucify the demands of the flesh, or throw those things off the bed and just snuggle up and just hit the snooze, and the war begins. The battle. We need to realize that whenever the Bible talks about the old man and us being crucified, it's all in the past tense. It happened. That is true, and the fact is you have the struggle because the old man is crucified. The terrible thing is he keeps trying to get off of that cross or out of that coffin and try to usurp authority over what God's doing in our lives. But that requires a conscious effort on our part to see to it that the old demands of the flesh is crucified. We have to decide to do it. And I don't like it, neither do you. But that's why the Bible says here in Ephesians 4 that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That renewing, remember last time, it means to renovate, to put a whole new look, to renovate the house, to put on a whole brand new front, concerning our minds. Is your mind being renewed? Is my mind being renewed? If it's not being renewed, I guarantee you, the old man is in your life and my life doing quite well, thank you. He'll be in control. And if that continues, we'll be in a backslidden state after a while. And if you're a Christian this evening, we've been born again by the Spirit of God, sealed by Christ, and change will take place. I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again because I like to say it. And that is, if evolution is true at all, it is only true in the life of the Christian. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we're being changed. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we are being transformed into His same image by glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. There's a change taking place in our lives if we're a Christian. And that's true evolution. So the fact of the matter is this, if we're growing more and more into the image of Jesus Christ, if we're continuing on, while at the same time we're dying more and more to the old man and the old ways, there's going to be this war. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. Is that true in your life? Get a load of this. Are you giving or tempted to give up on your Christian experience? Oh man, I can't continue. It's so difficult. It's so hard. Well, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Why? Because the outward man's perishing. He tells us right up front. It's dying. But the inward man's being renewed day by day. That's the glory to glory. That is the maturing in Christ. Even though the outward man is being slain daily. The victorious Christian says this, I recognize my place in Jesus Christ, that Ephesians 1:3 tells me that I'm seated in the heavenly places with Christ, watch this, and that when I sin, Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. We quoted this last week. But the victorious Christian says, listen, that sin that's taking place in my life, or that just happened there on the freeway or at the diner, wherever, whatever, that is the old man. And Paul had such a grip on this truth. Paul would say, as he's driving his donkey down the path, and something happened, if he fell off the donkey or whatever happened, the tendency is, oh man, stupid donkey or whatever, and then he would, oh, Lord, I lost my temper. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for that. You know what he would do? He'd get back on the donkey and keep continuing on, and he would walk and move and ride that donkey in the victory of Jesus Christ. He wouldn't battle any longer with it. Why? Because he said that it's not I any longer who's sinning, it's the old man. And there was a Saul once of Tarsus, now there's a Paul that's seated in the heavenlies. There was once a Jack, and now there's a Jack seated in the heavenlies. And if you're a Christian this evening, there was once who you were, and now there's the Christian who you are. And if you understand that, you're going to rise up in Christian victory, and you're not going to battle with depression and with all of this stuff that happens to the believer and pulling them down and sequestering them in defeat when the flesh or the enemy comes and says, you know what, you're really a goofball. You're blowing it. You're a scumball Christian. You're a nincompoop. You're a nothing. You don't pray like the other Christians. You don't read like the other Christians. You're not serving like all the others. And you just get sucked up in defeat. And that's the enemy. And that's the flesh talking. And you're getting ripped off. Paul would come back and say, no, listen, I'm seated in the heavenlies with Christ. There's no longer now any condemnation to me. to walk with Jesus. But a lot of Christians, and we'll talk about it tonight, get hit upside the head by either the flesh or the world or the enemy or even other Christians, and they cave in. They get all defeated and they give up. And you're not walking a victorious life. You're absolutely depleted. And that's not where God wants you to be. He wants you to be victorious. It's funny to me, when he talks about the old man and the new man, I don't know if you've had the chance, it's rather bizarre. But I don't know if you had the chance to watch somebody die. You say, well, that's a pretty morbid thing to talk about. It all depends if they're Christians or not. If you've ever watched a Christian die, it's rather inspiring. There's definitely a difference when a Christian passes on and a non-Christian. In fact, if you've never seen it, maybe you ought to see it, and you realize how incredibly awesome your Lord is. But it's funny. A Christian will almost gladly, especially if they've been suffering, they almost just gladly give up this life. It's like, let it go. I remember when we were watching our father-in-law, or Lisa's father-in-law, no, my father-in-law, Lisa's dad, die. And up there at USC, and it was an amazing thing. He couldn't wait. We're singing hymns, you know, and talking and stuff, and all the kids gathered around. I think at one time there were 22 kids, or not kids, grandchildren, grandchildren, all this stuff in the room, and we knew what was going on. We sang that song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." Lisa's dad was sitting there and waiting for the moment. And the moment that happens, it's like you're on holy ground. It's like a veil opens up. God takes that real man, the spirit, out, and all that's left behind is a shell. And it's, you know, it's just awesome. A non-Christian, they're flogging, they're restless, they're struggling, they're trying to hang on to this life. It's all that they've got. It's a terrible thing to see. They're grabbing, you know, arms in the bed and squeezing. A dear friend of mine in high school in our senior year, she was with her father, and they were with a group of families on vacation at Lake Mead, and they had taken the boat and they put all the camping gear on the boat, and Sue and her dad went over to the shore with some others and unloaded the boat, and Mr. Grady stayed on the shore with Sue, his youngest daughter. The rest of the people got back in the boat and went back to the shore to get all the, or back to the dock to get all the rest of the stuff. And during that time while they're away, Mr. Grady had a fatal heart attack. And he grabbed Sue by the arm, and as he was dying, he was hanging on to her. And for weeks, the bruise on her arm of his hand remained on her body. The grip, as his death grip, just clung into her. He didn't know Jesus, by the way. And she lives with that memory even today. The old man hangs on and tries to hang on to where you're going in Christ. The Christian says, come on, let's go. The old man says, no, let's hang on, let's pull down, let's stop. When the Christian wants to move on. And you and I struggle with that every day. In verse 30 now, he begins what is point one, and that is the victory circle is where we originate. Write that down if you would, verse 30. Concerning the victorious Christian life, the victory circle is where we originate as Christians. The victory's already done, you guys. It's all over. We just need to walk in it. Jesus has done it. Verse 30, he says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." The fact of the matter is, and this makes a very lofty assumption, verse 30 does, and it is that he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The assumption is that the Holy Spirit's in you. Paul's assuming the Holy Spirit already lives in you. That's how you can grieve him. And note this, I don't want to belabor this because it's obvious to all of you here, but the Holy Spirit is a person. Do you understand that? He is a person. In fact, in these few verses, you'll see the Trinity here. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The word grieve means is to make very sorry, to make very sad, to bring the Holy Spirit into a sorrowful state, to quench him. You ever been with somebody and you want to make a good impression and you like them and what they think of you is important to you? Because you like them. You want to what? Like put on your best, you know? And if something happens and you grieve them, you become grieved. When the Holy Spirit is grieved and you're a Christian, brother, sister, you're going to be grieved. That's one of the marks of a believer. And Paul is assuming that if the Holy Spirit lives inside you and you blow it, you sin, you disobey God, you'll grieve him. And you can only grieve a person. You can't grieve an it. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses will try to tell you that the Holy Spirit's an it. It's just a thing. It's a power. It's a force. It is not a power and a force. It is a he. Jesus said he's a he. God the Father says he's a he. The Bible says he's a person. And he can be grieved. But this is a fantastic assumption that Paul makes. He says, don't grieve. He's talking to us. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught us in John 14, 6, when he says, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. In John 14, 16 to 18, right there is also verses that confirm the Trinity. Jesus says, I'll pray to the Father. He, the Father, will send you another helper, that he, that is the Holy Spirit, may abide with you forever.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Victorious Christian. It's actually a mini-series taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 27 through 32. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Now, remember to set the dates aside. February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It's the Southern California Prophecy Conference that takes place then here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And maybe you've thought, well, I'd love to go, but resources are a bit tight. Well, we've taken that into consideration as well. Here's our teacher to tell us more.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and we will be hosting our second annual Southern California Prophecy Conference on February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. The price has been advertised as $50 per person, but in light of the recent events that are taking place around the world and the current economic crisis, we've prayed about it here at Calvary Chapel, and we are deleting the price of this conference. It is free. It's open to the public. Seating is limited to 3,000 people, but we want everyone to come. So I'm going to ask you to take advantage of this amazing opportunity to hear world-class speakers. Listen, my friend, you are going to need what this conference has to give you. So once again, the conference cost has been completely deleted. There's no registration fee required. You just need to be here at what will be the premier prophecy conference of 2009. You can get more information by going to SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. God bless you. We'll see you right here.
Okay, well, you can visit SoCalProphecyConference.com, SoCalProphecyConference.com, or give us a call toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.